The reality is, in Jesus Christ, we look at the reality of God Himself. And one of the things that I want you to understand as we go through these different series, we're going to be preaching on or teaching on Jesus Christ over these next several weeks. And then from there, we're going to go into some other teachings. You're not going to have normal sermons for the next several months, okay? And what I mean by that is, the Lord has really laid it on my heart that we need to shore up the foundations. The church is in such an array, and I don't mean us particularly, I mean the church. When I say that, I'm talking the world church, is in such an array because people do not know what they believe anymore. They simply go to church because it's, you know, the thing that we did and our parents have done, and you know, God accepts us all where we are and wherever we're going to be, God simply accepts us and He makes it all right. Well, that's not truth, okay? And God calls us to a higher standard in Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't lower the standard when He went to the cross. Jesus raised it. Jesus raised the standard of where we're to be and what we're to know, because He brought before us the example of what it meant to live a holy life. So today we're going to begin a teaching that is going to cover all of Lent, and we're going to be teaching on all the different aspects of Jesus Christ. And today we're dealing with the deity of Jesus Christ. And it just so amazes me, because guess what we were doing in discipleship hour today? We were talking about Jesus Christ as Lord. I mean, folks, I'm amazed at what God does. And you know, I work for the guy. But He just blows my mind, because I give to people to do, and it's so amazing because they bring back to me the same thing He's telling me to do. How does that work? God, why are you tying this together? Do you think He's got a story to tell? Do you think He's got a plan? I know He does. And the reality is, as we follow that plan, we will be changed. And as we are changed, God will bring an increase. But guess where it has to start? Right here. It starts with me. I want you to say that. It starts with me. You cannot think it starts with somebody else, because, you know, how many of us, we hear sermons and we think, oh man, I wish John were here to hear that. How many of you husbands, when you hear something, you know, you look at your wife and snicker? Or how many of you wives, when you hear something, you elbow the guy sitting next to you? Okay? I see it all the time. Remember, I'm looking back at you. Okay? I see it all the time. And the reality is, what's God saying to me? Because it starts with every me. And that's where I want us to go. I want us to start with the reality. Start with the beginning. Now, this is going to be difficult. Brother David's going to be helping me do these teachings, okay? So he's got to follow line. And there are some places where these teachings bleed over to one another. And I'm going to try to limit that as much as I can, because I don't want to ruin what's coming next week, or the week after, or the week after. So I've got to stick really close to my notes. And that is so hard for this preacher to do, because I like to go hunting, and rabbit trails are my specialty. Okay? So pray for me, and pray for Brother David, that we let our shotguns at home, because we want that rifle to stay right on target. All right, let us begin this day. Open your Bibles, if you would, to John 1, 1 through 5. And as you're turning there, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we come before You as Your children, looking into Your Word, to learn on Your Son, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, this day we're looking into Your very deity. We want to understand, Lord, that there's a reality here, that even this morning I spoke. When we think about who You are, the world says You were a good man, a prophet, a teacher of man, that You were good, good, good. But Lord, the reality is, if You're not God, You're a maniac, You're a liar, You're the worst thing that we could ever possibly put ourselves in front of to follow or to be like. So, Lord, we understand the truth and we bring it to ourselves this day to come under it, to understand your word that you are God. And may it be no other in our lives, and may we accept no other. You are not our holy eternal buddy. You are God. May your word bless us. May you encourage us to all faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. In the book of John, in the first chapter, the first five verses, you all know this, and you all know I love this. I don't know how many times since you've known me, you have heard this verse. I have you speak it out loud, so we're going to speak it all together now. I don't care what version you happen to have. We're going to read it, and we're going to read it together. Verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. As we look at this word, it doesn't say that Jesus was a God or one of the gods or might have been a God or should have been a God. It says He is God. For He was with God in the beginning and was God. And that's only because it's English. If this were Hebrew, it would say, in the beginning is the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word is God. He is with God in the beginning. Because when you read this in Hebrew, when you read it in the context of the people whom it was given, it's all present tense. It's now. Here. This is not something that was and is no more. It is an ongoing reality that Jesus Christ is God. Number one, how can you stop being God if you are God? You can't. So it comes to a reality that each of us have to understand. That if we look at this and we believe the Bible to be true, and I do, and I pray you do too, for it is inerrant, infallible, and authoritative in every manner of life. It is our author, our guide. And as we read it, we understand that God truly is Jesus Christ. He is part of the, what's the word I'm looking for, folks? Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is the second person of our Trinity. In the New Testament, Jesus is not only called God here, but He's called God by the Apostle Thomas in John 20 and 28. And He's also called God by God the Father. And this is an interesting discussion. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 10. Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 8 through 10. Now this is one of those places, and see, this is one of the things that while you're turning there, I'm going to talk a little bit. This is one of the places where I love the Bible because it talks in Hebrew here and it makes no sense to you or me. Because the translators could not translate it any other way and keep it that it flowed with some form. Okay? But we've got to look at this and ask God for the mind of the Holy Spirit. Because in that, He'll grant us understanding. Remember what we learned about the Bible? It is a spiritual book. So therefore, in order to understand it, we must possess within ourselves what? The Spirit of God. Amen. So as we read this, and I'm going to read it to you, just follow along, because then I'll come back and I'm going to reinterpret it the way it actually is. And you're all going to see it as you go, and you're going to say, oh, I think I know what He's going to do there. From verse 8. But about the Son, He says, Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, Your God, has set You above Your companions by anointing You with the oil of joy. He also says, In the beginning, O Lord, You laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Now, why is this confusing? Well, let me read it the way it should be written. But about the Son, he says, your throne, Jesus Christ, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, Jesus, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, Jesus, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Do you see it? This scripture seems like it's talking about God the Father every time it says God. It's not. This scripture is talking about Jesus Christ and their relationship. And the fact that Jesus and God are one is literally in this verse. In verse 9, where it says, therefore God, your God. Therefore Jesus, your God. He's equating himself, Jesus. God is equating himself with Jesus. He is showing us the deity in its trueness, in a Hebraic form that cannot be interpreted in such a way as that it makes sense to us in English. Don't you love that? We think we got it all together because we're Americans. Our language is pitiful. And I'm not saying that because I'm trying to diss us. I mean that in that we don't have the descripts in our language anymore. We have dumbed our language down to such a point that we can't see the way these things tie. But because Hebrew had so many different words that meant the same thing, or so many different definitions within words, when a word was used in a certain form or function, they understood it. We lose it in translation. So therefore, it becomes a point of theology. And how many of us today love theology? Brother David raised his hand. You know he would because he's going to be a minister, right? Brother Dan raised his hand because he's been a lifelong studier and he realizes if you're a Christian, you're a theologian. You got to get in there. You got to study this stuff out and mine it out because it's the only way you're going to actually understand what it's talking about. In this reality, God himself is calling Jesus God. God the Father is calling God the Son God. Now, how does that grab you? Didn't Jesus call the Father God? Well, guess what? God the Father calls Jesus the Son God as well. Why? Because they both are. Doesn't it make sense to call what is what is? Jesus Christ, in his deity, shows us the reality of just who he is and the fact that he existed before creation. We all know that, right? How do we express that? How does the Bible express that? How do we know that he was here before creation? How do we know that he's the one that created all things? Well, there's two places that I want you to turn. The first is John in the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 5. John 17, verses 1 through 5. Again, like I said, this is going to be a little different for you because Pastor's not up here espousing on a whole bunch of stuff. I'm here to teach you something today. And for the next several weeks, we're going to be teaching you. In fact, it's going to be months. What we're going through, by the way, and you can actually get one of these, and Miss Sally loves hers, Dan loves his. In fact, this was a gift from Dan. And when I grabbed a hold of this, when he gave it to me at a previous position, I said, we got it. We have to do this. And we are now doing this because God has told me and shown me that this is where we need to be. It's a little book. It's called The Christian Life New Testament with Master Outlines. What we're doing are the master outlines of the New Testament. All the things that are in the New Testament to teach you what the Bible is, who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, what sin is, what rewards are, what judgment is. Because we need to know what these things are. What's the scripture on your bulletin? Grab a bulletin. Let's read it. Because this is who we are. I didn't choose this. This is what God laid before us. Okay? And that's why this little book, and I thank Brother Dan for it so much, and he knows God uses him, and I know God uses him, and I know God's going to use you as we move further and further into this church becoming the reality that it will be, is, and will be. Let's read this together. The verse on your bulletin. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God wants us to have a knowledge of Him. Why? Because that knowledge of Him will transform our lives from darkness to light. And today we're looking at that very light through these very realities, through these master outlines within the Scriptures. From John in the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 5, we read these words concerning the reality of His eternal nature, the fact that He was here before creation. And if He is God, if He truly is a deity, then He had to exist before anything else did. And what does Jesus Himself say? That's why I said, you cannot call Him a good man if He's not God. He's completely nuts. And I know He is God. What does He say? After Jesus said this, He looked up toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have brought You glory on earth by completing the work You gave Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory I had with You before the world began." When? Before the world began. Jesus was here before it all started. And when we look a little bit later, we're going to find out that He's the one who started it all anyhow. Because that's His reality. He is the reality. He is the culmination of reality. He existed before all things began. In fact, the Hebrew people knew this so well. Remember, again, we're talking Hebrew language. We read things in the Bible that sometimes they don't make sense to us. And I'm going to have you turn to something here that the Hebrew people understood very well. And I'm going to show you how they knew that He was saying, "I existed before creation." Here He says it plainly, that we can all understand it, right? But He was praying a private prayer here. Who is He praying in front of at this very point in time? He was praying in front of the apostles. He was praying for them and for His departure. He was getting ready to go to the crucifixion. And this was His last plea before the Father. Okay? Now, turn in your Bibles to chapter 8 of John. Chapter 8, verse 42. Now, I've got some reading here to do. So we're going to get through this. I'm going to read through 49. Because I want the full context here. I don't want to just read the verse and say, "See," because I don't want you to think I'm picking something out. I don't like to do that. I have to have context. I want the full context so we understand that what I am saying is what the Bible is saying. I don't want anybody thinking I'm leading into things that aren't there. It's so easy to say, you know, God doesn't want ladies in any kind of ministry because He says a woman should remain silent in the church, right? Let's read it in context and you'll see that that's not true. So let's read this in context and get its truth. From verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love Me, for I came from God and now I am here. I have not come on My own, but He sent Me. Why is My language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? You know, you want to get rid of something, just call it something else and push it out the window, right? But Jesus responds back to them, I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Oh, what a question for the Lord Jesus. Amen? And this is what Jesus says. If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Folks, when he read that to those people, what was their response? Look at what it says. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Now, I think that's amazing. How do you hide yourself in the middle of a crowd of people who are picking up stones and they want to stone you? That's a supernatural happening if I've ever seen one in my... Because those folks knew how to stone people. All right? And when they got stoned, it wasn't a happy time. Somebody was dying. And when we look at this, the reality is here that when Jesus spoke those words, before Abraham was, I am, because that's how the King James reads, doesn't have the word born in there, because before Abraham was, before he was even a thought, I am. And when he said the word I am, that's God's, what? Name. That's his holy name. You're not allowed to speak those words in the Hebrew language. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, Yahweh. Oh, they knew exactly what he was saying. You're calling yourself God. Yes, he did. You know, I love that because people tell me, and I've heard it before, well, the Bible never claims that Jesus was God. Jesus never claimed that he was God. Whoa. I think we need to put some people back to school. And that's where we are today. If anybody ever makes that claim to you, well, Jesus never said that he was God. You can take them right here and show it right to them. Because these people wanted to stone him. Why? Because they knew exactly what he was talking about. He called himself God right there in front of them. Used God's first name. A name that was holy, a name that was never to be spoken in public. It was never even to come off your lips. It was that holy. Is he God? He's either God or he is a lunatic. And brothers and sisters, knowing everything that he has done and everything that has been done through him for over 2,000 years, can there be any question in our minds that Jesus Christ is God? There is no doubt in my mind, and I want there to be no doubt in yours. The deity of Jesus Christ hangs on the Word of God and hangs on the words of Christ himself and hangs on the proofs therein. We don't need to prove the Bible. These things are historical. They are written down for all time, and they are not only in the Bible, but they are in the Hebrew history, in the Roman history, that these things literally happened. But you know what? One of the greatest things that is challenged throughout time is that book and its truth and trustability. And yet it stands the test every time. But yet, well, you know, it's just a book. You can't believe everything that's written in there. If there's any book you can, no, let me change that. There is one book that you can, and that's the Word of God, the Holy Bible, because Jesus is God. He claims it. He shows us the reality that He was here before time, and we know it. Jesus claims that He can forgive, and that's in Mark 2, 5 through 11. And then one of the things we need to realize is only God can forgive, right? We're not going there, folks, because I'm running out of time, and I got one more scripture I want you to go to. Jesus claims that He's the sustainer of all things. That's Hebrews 1 and 3. And Jesus claims to all, I have all power in heaven and on earth. That's Matthew 28 and 18. That's part of our Great Commission. It's part of the mission's reality. Go ye therefore into all the world, right? What does He say before that? All authority on heaven and in earth has been given unto me. Now go. That's why the mission's emphasis. Because that's what we're supposed to be about as the church. Doing what our God has told us to do. But the final scripture I want you all to turn to is Colossians 1, 16 through 19. And no, I did not know that was the scripture for our Bible study today until after this sermon was set. That is the very scripture we studied today in Sunday school, or in discipleship. Excuse me, Miss Dottie. I owe another $5 in the offering plate now. Colossians 1, 16 through 19. Because I've been working on this, and I was reminded on Wednesday that I had Bible study by Bob, and I was like, oh yeah, I gotta prepare. And I got home and opened up Bible study for discipleship hour, and I said, oh my gosh, Lord, we're studying the very same reality. And I said, wow, you want this taught, don't you? And His reality to me was, yes, I will affirm myself in you and through the church. That way you know you're all in line. That it's not just me. I want you all to understand something. If it's all about me and what I know, how far are we going to get? We aren't leaving the parking lot, brothers and sisters. We aren't leaving the parking lot. But if we trust God, He gets us into eternity. If we trust God, if we follow Him, He will bring us to that place of life and life to the full. And why? Let's read verses 16 through 20. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is God. Everything that is created, He created. Things seen and unseen. Everything that is belongs to Him. That includes you and me, our today and our tomorrow. Because when He says everything, He means everything. That's not just the physical things, but that's the immaterial realities as well. Time itself belongs to Him. In fact, He dwells outside of time. How many of you wear a watch on your wrist? Do you know what? That's an image of God. That's an image of God, because God wears a watch on His wrist. And guess what? That watch is us, because we operate inside of time. Isn't that amazing? A watch on your wrist should be to you every day an example and the acknowledgement of who God is. Every time you look at your watch, you should be thinking of yourself. God knows every second of my life. In fact, He holds it. He's not dwelling in the second. He's holding the second. He created it for me. What am I going to do for Him in it? That's the reality. When we look at the deity of Christ, when we come to the reality that all things are made for Him, that He is the firstborn, and that all things shall return to Him, we have to understand that the deity of Christ holds our very beings and everything that we are and ever will be. And from that, we have to come to a place of calling Him Lord. Many people come to know Christ as Savior, but not many will submit themselves to Him to know Him as Lord. Do you know there's a difference? To say Savior means that He saved you from your sins and you'll see eternity. But to know Him as Lord means that you begin to live your life for Him, that you begin to allow Him to change you from glory to ever-increasing glory. And when you receive heaven, you will receive rewards. Those people who know Him as Savior, many of them are going to get in, and believe me, I've said this so many times, you're all going to get sick of hearing it until the day I die. There will be a smoking section in heaven. And that's going to be those who have gotten in because they know Him as Savior, and that's it. They gave Him nothing else in their lives, but He took upon Himself their sin and loved us all so much that all we have to do is believe that and we shall be saved. But He says, now I want you to know Me more, because brothers and sisters, when we get to eternity, it's not over. How long does eternity last? You know, that's an oxymoron to ask, right? How long does forever last? Eternity. How long does eternity last? Forever. What, do you think we're all just going to stand around and sing Kumbaya? Yeah. The reality is, when eternity rolls around, we're going to be doing things that we could never possibly dream. In fact, it says, no eye has seen, no mind has conceived what God has stored for those who love Him in Christ Jesus. Mitch, what's eternity going to be like?
I don't know.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Think we're just going to sit around and look at each other and say, ha-dee-da. Oh, man. And praise, the type of praise we're going to do? Oh, my goodness. Do you know the Bible says that when one stands, all stand. When one sits, all sit. I mean, you're talking a unity and a conformity that we have no idea what it's all about. But the amazing thing is, this God who loves us is setting us up for eternity. He's teaching us these things here, because when we get there, there are going to be things that we're going to do that we can't even comprehend now. But that time is coming. And we fumble over, well, should I balance my checkbook? Or can I let that bill bump for a month? You know, it's like, come on, folks. There is a way that is right. And there's a way that seems right unto man, and in the end leads to death. So let us conform to the image that He has given us. Let us remember that He is our deity, and let us give ourselves to that place of knowing that as we follow Him and submit to Him, He is God. Jesus walked upon the waters of Galilee, and the winds and waves obeyed Him. He healed the sick and raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. He cast out demons and made the lame to walk. He turned water into wine and fed 5,000 men plus women and children with a happy meal. And there were 12 loaves or 12 baskets of bread left over when He was done. Do you realize that's 11.8 times more than He started with? 2 loaves, 2 fishes. Or it was 2 loaves and 5 fishes. 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, Aren't you glad he's in charge and not me? And I'm not talking about Lyle. Oh, good. Praise the Lord. But the reality is, brothers and sisters, this is the God that we serve. Every one of the things I just spoke of there, who did it concern? Us. Everything he did there was for mankind. He didn't do any of that. This is the part that amazes me. Everything, what's the scripture there that we just read say? Everything was created for him. But yet he turns everything towards whom? Us. Why? Because we were created for him too. That's a love relationship, isn't it? We were created for him. And we're the only beings in all creation that he's given the ability to choose him. The only. We can reject him. We can accept him. And today I'm asking you to accept the reality that Jesus Christ is God, no other. He's not a good man. He's not a good teacher. He's not a prophet. Jesus Christ. Would you say it with me? Jesus Christ is God. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come before you as the people that you have called by the very name of your Son, who is Jesus, our Christ. Lord Jesus, we do understand that you are God and God alone. But Lord, you are not alone, for we know that there is a Trinity and that the three are one. Lord, if we could understand that and wrap our brains around it, it would be a whole lot happier place. But the reality is we'll know it in time. For now it is a mystery unto us, and we accept it because we accept you. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would send your Holy Spirit to dwell in and with us, that we would truly be Christian, little Christs in this world, allowing you to do your work through us, that we would come back to that image that you are. Because, Lord, that's how you created us through the first Adam. He was your image, and we threw it away for a meal and a lie. Lord, I pray that this day we would recommit ourselves, each and every one of us, to the reality that you are God and God alone, that we cannot avoid you, we cannot get around you, but that we answer to you, and that you have a plan and a purpose for us that is not to bring us harm, but to bring us hope and a future. For when we realize that, we will call upon you and we will seek you with all our hearts. And Lord, your word tells us that we will be found by you. So may it be so now and may it be so forever, that we would know you and that you would know us, and that in the day we would be with you for all eternity. For these things we pray thee in the precious name of he who is the Christ our Lord, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. And amen.